This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. About a dozen years ago now, I did a documentary about better ideas for the economy in the wake of the great financial crisis. It was called Fixing the Future, and it opened with something broken in need of fixing, a derelict section of Main Street in my hometown. There are towns like Waterville, Maine, all across America, and it looks like it's up to us to come up with what to do next for our economy. Now, in the name of community revitalization, this mill and college town is trying to establish itself as the arts capital of northern New England. Really? A work site on a campus on a hill is packed with carpenters, landscapers, data technicians. They're jamming to finish the Gordon Center for Creative and Performing Arts, a complex you might expect in a top 10 city. But in Waterville, population 16,000? For this, the private liberal arts college here is paying $95 million for a building that includes five performance spaces.
Everyone is technically arranged so that it can be used for theater, dance, music. And that's really the beauty of it, is trying to think about not just art as a set of discrete disciplines, but how do they become integrated and create new forms of artistic expression.
Our tour leader is David A. Green, president of Colby College. The soft openings this week, disclosure, my late mom directed student plays on this campus. Good chance Ruth Brancaccio would have appreciated a 74,000-square-foot temple of performing arts.
We want to send a signal to everybody that this is not just for the campus. This is, in fact, part of an ecosystem of the arts in the Waterville area, and that it's open to you.
There's more. Hoof it 500 yards and you get to Colby's Museum, specializing in American art. Come for the Alex Katz paintings, stay for the James McNeil Whistler, with his themes of, perfect for this piece, urban change. Yet what about 2 miles away, stretches of downtown Waterville, Deadsville for decades? In 2023, I find, well, not the Champs-Élysées, but an artsier Main Street. A summer pottery class for kids, next to three new screens of the main film center, connected to a longtime asset, a grand opera house. Shannon Haynes, president of a nonprofit called Waterville Creates, got philanthropic money for a big merger of independent arts groups.
That's what this project aimed to do, is bring everything together in one spot in the heart of downtown, and we've seen the results.
All in an $18 million Main Street complex, with the biggest money from folks with ties to the college or its big museum. The Paul Schupf Center also contains a little Colby Museum with internationally known work. And over at a late lamented hardware store, across from a new college-enabled hipster hotel,
so if I'm looking for
makerspace, artist studios, and artists.
We're working on an opera that I adapted from a collection of poems called Postpartum.
Arisa White, a professor of creative writing at Colby, spent part of the summer in this space honing her opera's themes, including postpartum depression and indigenous wisdom amid climate change.
It was this really beautiful way to kind of bring a bunch of thinkers and creatives across the state and the region to begin to imagine what this opera can be.
Close to $200 million has been spent downtown, about half from the college. Jay Dick, with the advocacy group Americans for the Arts, says other cities have pulled off bets like this. Look up Carmel, Indiana, and theater. Dick's data found when $5 billion went into the arts nationally, $27 billion came out.
If that was an IPO on Wall Street, I'd buy as much of that art stock as possible. That's a great return on investment.
But some Waterville residents worry about priorities. Elizabeth Leonard is a retired professor of history at Colby who works with the Poverty Action Coalition. As a humanities person, she'll never argue against the uplifting power of art. But her sense is feed hungry people first, as in
jobs, housing, access to food, dependable medical care, mental health support, community outreach, many, many things.
Another major funder with longtime ties to the city, the Harold Alphon Foundation, appreciates both sets of needs. It funds arts, but also education and workforce development. Alphon's president, Gregory Powell.
Having deep and rich cultural arts background in a town is an attraction to people. It's where they want to live. It's where they want to be. So We are hoping we will be able to promote economic activity by a strong arts culture, and then through other measures taken by the foundation and educational institutions to build the skills of the workforce.